And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What?
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is business, business, business. Each of my guests is discussing a topic that can be directly applied to business. My next guest is the great-grandniece of Thomas Alva Edison. She'll share the five competencies of innovation she learned from her famous relative from her book titled Innovate Like Edison. And if you have a question or if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Sarah Caldicott is the great-grandniece of Thomas Edison and his second wife, Mina Miller Edison. Sarah was surrounded by creativity and innovation throughout her life. When she was just 7 years old, she was curious as to about why the Edison phonograph and the cylindrical records in her home and the LPs that we had back in the day. How did it get that way? So intrigued, Sarah went on to learn about the accomplishments of Mina Miller Edison's father, Sarah's great-great-grandfather, Louis Milner, who died in 1899. He was the recipient himself of 92 patents. Louis Milner was inducted into the National Inventors Hall of Fame in 2006. Co-author of the groundbreaking book on Thomas Edison's innovations, Best Practices, titled Innovate Like Edison, the Success System of America's Greatest Innovator, Sarah speaks to audiences across the country and leads executive seminars on how to embed Edison's five competencies of innovation into their organization. She was born and raised in the Midwest. She received her Bachelor's of Arts from Wesley College, where she was named the Wesley College Scholar. She also holds an MBA from the Amos Tuck School of Business at Dartmouth. She lives in Oak Park, Illinois, with her two teenage sons. Joining us from Illinois. Hi, Sarah. How are you today?
I'm great, Bill. Pleasure to be with you.
Well, thank you for being my guest here on Brainstorming. I would love to have thought leaders like yourself, especially one who has such a connection to greatness. Now, you have that unique relationship with one of the world's greatest innovators and inventors. That's Thomas Edison. So give us your perspective as to what made Thomas Edison so prolific. I mean, he had a record-breaking 1,093 U.S. patents and 1,293 international patents over his 62 successive years.
Well, you know, one thing that Edison was great at doing was connecting the ideas that he had to needs in the marketplace. A lot of times today we talk about all the ideas that we can create and generate through various means, but Edison was not only doing that, he was also trying to see how his ideas could connect to needs. That's really where he was able to gain traction and build profits from the inventions that he launched. So that was one key way. Another, I would say, is that he kept track of trends. He was paying attention to what was going on around him. He looked at different markets that were growing, and he tried to determine how he might be able to invent new things for those markets. So that led him into a lot of areas that were different from each other. That was certainly one of the keys to having over 1,000 patents. But really one common area of all of them was the fact that he was addressing needs.
All right, Sarah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, so you've written and codified these five core competencies that made your great-great-grand-uncle, Thomas Edison, unique. So if we follow these five competencies, we should be able to innovate like Edison, correct?
Well, yes, in the sense that it will shift the way you think to align with the way that Edison was thinking. One of the most extraordinary things I realized about Edison during my research was that he thought like an innovator. He had the mindset of an innovator. He had processes aligned with the world of innovation. And he surrounded himself with people who were also interested and could maintain that same mindset. So today, I think part of what we can do is to shift our thinking more toward that. And that's what the five competencies do.
All right. Well, let's talk about each of the five competencies in turn. There is solutions-centered mindset, kaleidoscope thinking, full-spectrum engagement, mastermind collaboration, and super value creation. So let's start with the very first one, which is this solution-centered mindset. You alluded to this earlier. Delve into this a little bit more deeply, if you will, Sarah. What did make Thomas Edison unique in this solution-centered mindset?
Well, part of what Edison did, which differs from what we often do, is that he would look to the future and begin to create a relationship with the future as it pertains to the solutions that might be possible. A lot of times today, we start with what exists now and try to work forward from there. Edison would begin by casting himself forward into the future and working back. So that's actually a different way than we often consider as we think about innovation. Part of how he did that was through experimentation. He loved to look at the world of nature. He loved to create new combinations of things and determine what might lead him out into that future state. So experimentation was really significant for him.
All right, but let me ask you, let me hit the pause button for just a minute, Sarah, and ask you, if you project into the future, so you've got this vision of what the future is going to be and you work backwards, on the surface that sounds very, very logical to do that. And then you experiment to get you to that place. But doesn't that really overcome objectivity? Because if you've already envisioned a future and you're working backwards, you can't be objective about the experiments that you're running.
Well, actually, that gets us to the second competency, the kaleidoscopic thinking component. And part of what Edison was doing was creating fantastical worlds. He was using literally science fiction type writing to envision worlds that actually didn't exist. So I don't know if you'd call that objectivity. I think that's actually pretty groundbreaking. It really pushes the boundaries of our logic out into what is possible.
He does,
so
yeah.
he would frame then some of the solutions within that context. So that was part of how he was able to look at some really breakthrough ideas that others would miss.
And this was the part of the book that really intrigued me the most. First of all, I like the title of this section, Kaleidoscopic Thinking. But also, how did Thomas Edison go about creating this kaleidoscope thinking, and what is kaleidoscopic thinking?
Well, kaleidoscopic thinking refers to the ability to look at challenges from multiple angles and derive something unique from each one of those angles. So, for example, I mentioned science fiction writing or fantastical thinking. That was one angle he would use. Another is that he liked to draw his ideas on paper. So instead of just expressing his thoughts with words, he would express them visually. This is very intriguing because it allows us to see what Edison was envisioning in his mind. Sometimes he would be envisioning a machine or parts of a machine, and he would scrawl those down in one of his many notebooks. So part of what we can do today is draw our ideas and not just always resort to using words.
And what part of the brain does that activate, Sarah, that is unique from just our logical word-based thinking?
Well, kaleidoscopic thinking really activates the whole brain, and the use of drawing really captures what the right brain is great at. The right brain is good with patterns, seeing things from 30,000 feet, thinking strategically. You really want to engage the right brain as you also bring in things like data and trends and, you know, the logical side of our left brain.
All right.
So that's what kaleidoscopic thinking really excels at.
And something that your great-granduncle coined a phrase that I kind of liked as well, because he experienced what he called ideaphoria. What is ideaphoria, and how does that come out of kaleidoscopic thinking?
Ideaphoria is actually a real English language word, and it means the love of ideas. And Edison certainly had that. So he would sort of foster his ideaphoria by writing down his insights every day. In fact, as ideas and thoughts came to him, he would write them down immediately. This is something that we also rarely do today. Sometimes we put things in our phone or in a journal, which is a great start. But what Edison was doing was putting these insights down on paper and therefore actually beginning the process of gathering information. Our brain is like a huge search engine. When we put things down, especially things that inspire us, it creates big nodes in the mind, and those nodes sort of create sweeping patterns that look and look and look for other things that might be related to it. So this is how Edison became so prolific of ideas. That's really where ideaphoria comes.
Ideaphoria. My guest is Sarah Caldicott. She is the great-grandniece of Thomas Edison. She's also the author, a co-author of the book, Innovate Like Edison, the five-step system for breakthrough business success. So kaleidoscopic thinking is the second of the five competencies that you write about in the book. The third is what you call full-spectrum engagement. What do you mean by that?
Well, when we see Edison being so successful for decades at a time, even in, you know, positive boom eras in the economy as well as very difficult recession eras, we see him navigating opposites. moving across spectra of challenges. This is what full spectrum engagement refers to. So, for example, Edison could work very well alone. He could also work very well in teams. He was excellent at tackling complex challenges, as well as breaking those down into simple terms. He could be very serious, but also very playful. So today, I think we often forget that we need to be considering both sides of where our strength areas are.
The yin and the yang.
A lot of us can be very serious, but we sometimes forget to be playful, for example.
Sort of the yin and the yang. Give us some examples of Thomas Alva Edison being playful. I mean, that almost sounds like an oxymoron.
I know. Well, Edison loved to play practical jokes, and he was a real cigar lover. So one day he realized that someone in his employ must be breaking into his stash of favorite cigars. So what he did was went out and got some tobacco leaves and actually got barber clippings, you know, clippings of hair from the floor of a barber shop, and put these hair clippings inside of one of these rolled tobacco leaves and made sort of bogus cigars out of this. He put the bogus cigars in the lab and sort of swapped them out for the real stash of cigars, and in fact found people, you know, in the act, if you will, of smoking these bogus cigars, and he caught them red-handed. So it was just a funny way of him to kind of play a prank on people who were, taking his favorite stuff.
My guest is Sarah Caldicott. She's a co-author of the book Innovate Like Edison. And Sarah, the late Steve Jobs has been called the modern-day equivalent of your great-granduncle. Is that a fair analogy? And what characteristics of Thomas Edison do you think that you have seen in Steve Jobs in his career and in his products?
Well, I think that Steve Jobs is probably the person in our lifetime who has come the closest to mirroring many of the qualities that Edison had. Certainly Edison had more patents than Jobs did. Jobs had 313, which is not shabby. I mean, that's a tremendous accomplishment in and of itself. I think that both of these great men were inspirational leaders. I think that's part of how they actually accomplished so much during their lifetime. They were able to inspire other people to take big risks, risks that they might not otherwise have taken under another leader. So they were going into new markets, they were going after new customers, and they were trying to change the way people connect to technology. That was a huge, huge similarity between the two men.
Absolutely, it was. My guest is Sarah Caldicott, co-author of the book Innovate Like Edison, the five-step system for breakthrough business success. Sarah, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, Innovate Like Edison?
Well, I'd like them to take away the fact that innovation is a complex process, and it has many phases to it. It's hard for one individual to excel at all the phases, but I think what we can do is create a bigger context for how we think about innovation and how we actually bring it into our daily world and into our work lives. The five competencies of innovation give us really concrete steps on how to do that, and I'm hoping as well that it will inspire people to think like innovators. I think that's what Edison would have loved.
Well, I think Edison would have loved that, and I think it's something that we need, particularly in these days with this economic situation that we are in.
Indeed.
Yeah, my guest has been Sarah Caldicott. Sarah, you've obviously intrigued many listeners out there who want to learn more about you, learn more about the book. Where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, they can visit my website, which is www.powerpatterns.com. That's powerpatterns.com. I've got a number of resources and references that they can check out. Also, my book is available there. It's available on Amazon, but as well, my new ebook, Inventing the Future, you can find on my website.
Oh, great. The new ebook is up there on the website, powerpatterns.com. Sarah, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks so much, Bill.
Thank you, Sarah.